To continue our discussion of kusala this week, talking about it as skill and doing what's skillful, and that the Buddha used lots of analogies of craftspeople and farmers and animal trainers make similes for, metaphors for, comparisons to the developing of meditation skills or skills along the path of liberation. And so because all these similes have to do with craftspeople and farmers and musicians and animal trainers, elephant trainers, back in ancient India. And the idea of skill seems like a better translation sometimes than wholesome, but these two are closely connected. And one of the skillful practices or skillful states is mindfulness practice. And that mindfulness practice is... the simile for it is becoming a skilled cook. And so I guess, you know, bringing together all the ingredients, bringing ourselves completely here. Maybe we're the pot or something, and we're bringing all these good qualities together. So we're really here, maybe cooking something really wonderful. And so this idea that mindfulness is a wholesome, skillful practice, it's a craft we're developing, suggests, as I said yesterday, it's something developed slowly over time. And if doing that, the Buddha had this wonderful teaching. When based on ethical conduct, established on ethical conduct, you develop the four foundations of mindfulness, then, whether night or day, you may expect only growth in skillful states, not decline. So here we have this, mindfulness itself is considered to be a skillful skill to develop. And as we develop this skill of mindfulness, it brings with it it brings with it the development and growth of skillful states. And we find another theme from this week is how much the Buddha is emphasizing personal growth, development in certain qualities that were helpful and good for us to have. Now there's lots of lists in the early tradition of these skillful states, qualities of being. And in fact, there's many more lists and enumerations of skillful states than there are for unskillful states. It's almost as if there's only a few, relatively few, unskillful, unwholesome movements of mind that we can have, and many, many different options for skillful ones. And you know, unfortunately, we spend a lot of time with the ones that are the few of. And don't explore the range of all the good qualities that we can develop and cultivate. But I'm delighted in the fact that this early tradition will list many more positive states and qualities that human beings have than the list of the negative ones. And in one of these lists, in the later tradition, in the Abhidhamma, the kind of Buddhist psychology, the unwholesome, unskillful ones are called that. They're called akusala, unskillful. But the skillful ones, or the wholesome ones, are called beautiful. And there are more beautiful states of mind, or mental factors, or mental movements of the mind that are possible for us than there are unskillful ones. So we have this great capacity, and maybe to some degree it's underutilized. And part of what we're doing is cultivating this underutilized part of our mind. There's a wonderful list of skillful states that the Buddha taught to his foster mother, and she's the one who raised the Buddha, and she became a nun, and she asked him once to teach the Dharma, to offer his teachings in brief. It's always in the suttas when he's going to say it in brief. It gets very interesting to see, and very interesting to see gather together all the brief statements of how the Buddha kind of encapsulates the Dharma, and see there's a particular kind of orientation that gets repeated over and over again, and that is practice and the immediacy of our experience now. That's where it's all the emphasis is. So she asks him to teach her the Dharma in brief, so she could go off and practice alone. So she wants practice instructions. So this is what he told her. As for those mental qualities of which you may know, these qualities, these states lead to dispassion, not to passion, to being unfettered, not to being fettered, to shedding, not to accumulating, to fewness of wishes, not to many wishes, to contentment, not to discontent, to solitude, not to crowded company, to arousing effort, not to laziness, to being unburdensome, not to being burdensome. You may definitively hold, this is the Dharma, this is the teacher's instructions. And what's interesting about this kind of list is that they are both states or mental activities, ways of being, that we can practice, we can cultivate, and they're the result of that cultivation. They're the result of practice as well. Dharma practice leads to these states, and so rather than just practicing, breathing, ethics, all the different things of practice, to reach those states, the idea is to practice those states as well. And we find this this way in which the goal of practice is integrated into the means of the practice. The means and the goal are not so separate in the Dharma. And if the goal is to be peaceful, then we practice peace. If the goal is to be compassionate, we practice compassion. If the goal is to be content, we practice contentment. If the goal is to not be caught in the grip of many desires, then we practice having few desires, fewness of wishes. Some of these ideas are, interpersonal, like being unburdensome. Don't be a burden for other people. We need some care in how we understand that. Certainly, we don't want people to feel like can't get support, who need the support. But to expect too much from people or depend on people when we don't need to is to be a burden. And this idea of solitude, not in crowded company, the ability to be alone and be content is one of the great things to discover. It's really skillful to develop that skill, that capacity, that wholesomeness to be at ease with oneself, to be comfortable with oneself, to be able to be in a room by oneself and just kind of sit there and be content and keep one's own company, be one's own friend. It doesn't mean we have to live as a hermit, but that ability means that when we are with people, that we don't bring our neediness, we don't bring our grasping and wanting them to provide us with all kinds of benefits and company and support and praise and love or whatever, because we have a lack ourselves. So we want to cultivate a capacity to have comfortable solitude. So it's fascinating that to his foster mother, these are the skillful states the Buddha highlighted as being essential for going off and practicing alone. And I think part of it is that these states, as we cultivate them, they lead to more and more of the same. Or they're the guide. These states are the guide. This is the direction we're going. And if we understand where we're going, then we kind of start doing those things, those states and practices that lead to that direction. So if we're practicing meditation, mindfulness of breathing, to have in mind that it's leading us to being content. So let's start kind of finding it and seeing it now. It's leading us to have fewness of wishes. Is it, as we sit and practice, can we tap into this and have that support the very meditation practice itself? It's leading us to a capacity to feel at home when we're alone. Can we cultivate meditation with that in mind, to feel a deep, deep sense of settledness with ourselves? And so forth, on we go. Many of the so-called, these sometimes are called virtues that we're being cultivating, developing. Many of them, the overarching kind of character of the long, many of the lists that Buddha emphasized to develop and practice are peaceful states, peaceful qualities. And in Discourse on Loving Kindness, he talks about being upright, straightforward, easy to speak to, gentle, not proud, contented, wise, and calm. So here's more of these skillful states that are to be cultivated. Another list is respect, humility, contentment, gratitude, patience, and gentleness. So, and there's not any of this, as I said, there's many, many of these lists. So, to cultivate and allow for the growth of skillful, wholesome qualities. And it's skillful to develop these states because they themselves are onward leading. They lead to further growth, just as mindfulness leads to the growth of skillful states, wholesome states. So all other skillful, wholesome states bring along with them companions and other wholesome states. So there's kind of a mutual kind of bringing along, mutual support of all these states within us. And it's a wonderful thing to start feeling the momentum of wholesome, skillful states growing in us and offering a kind of energy and inspiration and movement for our life. So skillfulness. May you explore the idea of skillful. You know, if you orient your life today around what would be the skillful thing to do? What would be the skillful thing to do to support these qualities of contentment, fewness of wishes, unburdensomeness, all these kinds of wonderful things? Freedom. So, thank you all very much, and look forward to seeing you tomorrow.